The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith. He is Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the King of the Cocks. What's up, my brother? How you feeling?
I'm doing good. How about you, Davey Smith?
Doing good. Can't complain. Everything is going good in Smithtown.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited. This Sunday, of course, for people who were paying attention, we did a whole show on this, but last Sunday we were, did a live show in Brooklyn and sold it out. We're back this Sunday. The show sold out like almost immediately, and we just added another show. So there are still tickets now because we just added another show. If you guys want to come see me and Robbie the Fire Bernstein in Brooklyn on Sunday. And then, of course, we're going to be in Connecticut coming up here in just a little over a week. June 19th. June 19th will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. Looking forward to that one as well. It's a lot of fun. Oh, and we got the Rochester gig finally booked, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot it's the end of August, and we'll have the link right in the episode description.
Okay.
Three days, full weekend. It's going to be awesome, dude.
3 days, full weekend in Rochester, New York. Very much looking forward to that one. Should be a real great time. Yeah. So there we do it. Me and Rob the Fire Bernstein back on the road, back in the stand-up grind, and really enjoying it. So make sure you guys come out if you can. Anyway, so there's a few things going on. I did want to very quickly mention, because I just thought this was so funny. So the Libertarian Party invited Tom Woods to speak at the convention next year, at the national convention, which is awesome. And just in a sane Libertarian Party, we'd just be like, oh yeah, of course, that's great. Like, why wouldn't we have one of our most popular guys, one of our best scholars, a brilliant Harvard, Columbia educated, New York Times bestseller with one of the biggest podcasts in the libertarian world?
He speaks out against rental lines. So that's what I most appreciate about Tom.
He takes a hard stance
against car rental lines. Not enough people talking about that. It's really infuriating when you get off a flight and then you got to wait on a line for your car. So, Tom, I support your work in speaking out against rental lines.
Now, of course, just because, you know, there are some weirdos in the party, there was a petition to remove Tom Woods as a speaker at the 2022 Libertarian Party convention. Then just to make fun of it and kind of, I think I'd say, prove a point as well, someone else started a petition to have Tom Woods do the entire convention.
Nice.
With no other speakers. And so the petition that wanted Tom Woods removed got 200 signatures. And the petition to have him do the entire event is getting close to 6,000. at this point. So I just thought that was like such a funny way to like troll slash expose the state of things. Like, you know, like sometimes on Twitter, there's really like, there can be these really loud, very unpopular voices, but something like this, you go like, okay, so there's about a nice little representation of exactly what the numbers are here, right? It's like, yeah, for the 200 maniacs who want Tom Woods removed, there are 5,000 fanatics who want him doing the entire event. So there you go. Anyway, Tom Woods will be at the national convention. I might be there. I might pop by as well. We'll see what happens. Anyway, so let's get into some news. There's a few different things that that me and you wanted to talk about today. Oh, we're going to lead off with Dr. Fauci, who, look, as
defending
I've been
science, he's doing important work. He's defending all of science.
I don't even know why I called him Dr. Fauci. I could have just said science. Dr. Fauci and science are interchangeable terms at this point. They mean the same thing. They are the same thing. He is just a walking scientific method. That's all I see. I don't even see a man. I see a science slash God. That's Dr. Fauci. But in all seriousness, as we've been saying on the show, and it's a thing that we're really, you know, talking a lot about, and I have a feeling we will talk quite a bit more about it, is that the COVID narrative that we have been, I'd say, ferocious, vehement critics of for the last year plus is really collapsing. And it's a very interesting time in American history to have such a crazy thing happen to the country. Really something that's hard to find anything that you could use as a comparison, you know, and outside of like war, you know, outside of like an economic crash. I mean, obviously there's the bad economy, but it's
next month.
Well, yes, but I'm saying like that this wasn't like, okay, there was malinvestment in the economy and this brought down the economy or something organic happened and brought down. It's like as a response to COVID, we destroyed the economy, or we being our governments. But just watching all of the narratives collapse is just kind of unbelievable. And from, you know, look, everything we did that, you know, again, I can't overstate this, right? We completely changed our society over the last year and change, right? Every societal norm got changed. And just about all of it was bullshit. Like the lockdowns were complete bullshit. The, you know, wearing masks outside was complete bullshit. Wearing masks inside in many situations, complete bullshit. Wiping down your groceries, complete bullshit. It's just all over the place. And now, you know, with the emails and the more information that's come out, we find out that the origins of COVID, we've been completely lied to and misled about those, that actually Fauci is very implicated in funding gain-of-function research in the Wuhan lab, which is the most likely origin of the virus. All this stuff's coming out. And Fauci is now kind of being thrown under the bus. And this, I saw this clip of him the other day. And I just I got a kick out of it. So I thought we'd play it and discuss momentarily. So here it is. Here's science himself.
Now you're at the focal point. What is your level of concern that we're going to discredit public health officials to the point of, you know, look at Russia. They actually have a good vaccine and none of their citizens will take it because they don't trust their own government.
Right. It's very dangerous, Chuck, because a lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Sometimes those things were inconvenient truths for people, and there was pushback against me. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. And anybody that looks at what's going on clearly sees that. You have to be asleep not to see that. That is what's going on. science and the truth are being attacked.
Oh, yes. Really, I'm sorry. I when I was interchangeably referring to Dr. Fauci as science or Dr. Fauci, I forgot, I neglected to mention that truth would also be, you could just refer to him as truth. Not even the truth, just truth. Dr. Fauci. Okay, that is the sound that a man who's about to be thrown under the bus makes. This is not a confident national health expert who's explaining his position against the people criticizing him. This is now, this reeks of desperation. And then I'm telling you guys right now, Fauci's going down. I don't mean that like he's going to jail or something like that, but Fauci, his popularity, approval, his voice in the public is going to go way down in the next few months. Watch.
Great to see him. The ball's on that guy to double down and just be 100% salesy to go, I was just applying the science, and if you're attacking me, you're attacking science. And
you're attacking truth. If you imagine right. saying that, if you criticize me, you're against science and truth.
And what's usually nice about science is that there would be a pretty good track record of the experiments you ran, the data that you were interpreting, and then it would be very clear because it should be proven. It should be like a concept like gravity. You've proven it, and now I know that gravity exists. Or I don't know science. I didn't show up to science class, but I do understand, I guess, that they usually prove things, and then they're absolutely true. They're not just things could be. When you start saying things could be, that means there's no science there. It just could be something. Or well, when you look at every single time he's said anything on any of those, if anything, the question we had was, we're looking at the science that was presented to you and the way you interpreted it, and it looks like you just lied to us. So that's the criticism with you. There's no criticism on science. The criticism is the way that you're misrepresenting the information handed to you. But you got to respect the balls.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree with you. You got it. You got it. Like, there's a certain personality type that you got to have to ever have the gall to just publicly say any criticism of me. Not only is it bullshit by nature, but it is an attack on the truth. I represent the truth, and those criticizing me represent people who hate truth and hate science. A real politician-y type thing this scientist has.
Busted for being a pedophile, and goes, any criticism of my actions is a criticism of God.
Yeah, but weirdly, you'd almost expect it more from a priest than a scientist, because it is a very religious...
That was the Lord diddling.
Yeah, yeah, really. You take that up with the Lord. Personally, I think it's gross. Okay, but again, this is between you and God. Honestly, I'm gonna go watch football with these kids. Anyway, Now, the funny thing about this, of course, just on its face, what a ridiculous thing to claim, right? That you, every, like, as if there's been no controversy amongst the scientific community, that there's been no scientists who have disagreed with Fauci at any step of the way, which is what he says, at every step of the way, right? But even by Fauci's own admission, right, he has not been led by the science. Like, what did Fauci say? So let's take criticisms of Fauci. Well, who's the most famous critic of Dr. Fauci right now in the world? It's Rand Paul.
Rand, yeah.
It's Rand Paul, right? Now, what did Rand Paul criticize Fauci for? He criticized him for theater, for wearing masks, double masking after he'd been fully vaccinated. And Rand Paul was like, what are you doing? This is pure theater. Like, no, there's no risk that you're going to spread COVID. You've been fully vaccinated. Why are you doing this? Now, later, when the CDC changed and kind of agreed with Rand Paul that if you're fully vaccinated, you don't need to be wearing a mask and it's unnecessary, then what did Fauci say? Remember, we played it on the show. He said, well, I didn't want to send mixed messages to people. Now, okay, I would say that is theater. That's literally what Rand Paul was accusing you of. But if you want to split hairs there and say it's not, fine, whatever. But not wanting to send mixed messages to people is not science. That has nothing to do with science. You are now in the realm of propaganda, of I want to convince people to take a certain action. But that's not you just speaking the truth, just telling science. Science would be, you know, how likely are you, based on the data, to spread COVID to someone because you're not wearing a mask after being fully vaccinated? He wasn't making a scientific argument. He was lying, essentially, because he wanted to send a certain message to people, right? Now, what did he say? What did Fauci say about why he had claimed that masks weren't necessary at the very beginning of the pandemic? Well, he said it was because he didn't want there to be a run on the supply of masks. Again, feel however you want to about it. By Fauci's own admission, he hasn't been leading with science and the truth this whole time. By the way, there was some of the emails that were released kind of contradicted what Fauci was saying. And he was actually making a scientific argument for why you don't need masks. So either Fauci was lying about the science, therefore not being science and not being truth, or he's telling the truth when he admits that he was lying, in which case he was not being the truth at one point and was also not being the science. So I'm confused. Dr. Truth Science seems to have a few lies on his hands. Not to mention, obviously, that it's like, what are Rand Paul's like criticisms? Take his most famous critic. Well, his major criticisms have been that he wasn't honest about the lab leak hypothesis and that they were doing gain of function research there and that he was implicated in that. What about that is an attack on that? Like, let's just say hypothetically, even if Rand Paul was wrong about all of that, now let's say it comes out that, you know, it wasn't the lab. We get conclusive proof that this came from the bats. And let's say it comes out that they weren't doing gain of function research at the Wuhan lab, even though we know they were. But it turns out we're wrong and they weren't. There's still nothing that's an attack on science to raise these concerns, right? I mean, really what Rand Paul's doing is calling for an investigation and calling for Fauci to step down. It's not calling for the abolition of science. Just really the balls on this guy. Gotta respect him. Gotta respect him. He's gonna go down swinging, I guess, but he's going down.
What do you think the time frame is?
I think hard to say exactly, but I think the next couple months are gonna be very bad months for Anthony Fauci.
You think there's gonna be any actual like criminal or punishments, or it's just gonna be one of these, hey, it's time for someone new after his exhaustive efforts and everything he did for the country? You know, he wants to go cash in and go back to working for Big Pharma and get his checks, and we're going to put it first in the post.
Yes. No, I'm strictly that's a very good question. And I should clarify. I'm strictly talking about his public persona. There is not going to be any criminal charges. He will go through the revolving door, go get some cushy job somewhere else. That's how these things work. I've just seen too much of this shit. As you know, the people who lied us into the war in Iraq still have cushy jobs, and the people who lied about Trump being a Russian agent or whatever, they all still have cushy jobs. No, there won't be any criminal investigations. That's not how our government works. Our government does not put criminals in jail. It puts them in positions of power.
That's why if you have kids, you know, parents are always telling their kids, like, don't you lie to me. And it's not don't, it's be better with your lies, because it's very lucrative. So it's not don't lie to me. It's just, if you're going to lie to me, make it really good. Yeah. That hopefully you can profit off that skill later in life. And since it was a bad lie, you're in trouble.
Don't you lie to me. You lie to everyone.
Yes.
Be a senator.
And make it good.
And make them really good. And just double down. And then sometimes throw in that you're truth and science. So anyway, I don't know. That stuck out to me. I thought it was worth commenting on. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is BetterHelp. That's Better, H-E-L-P. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel like there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, definitely check out BetterHelp. The truth is this, guys, the last year has been a very tough year for a lot of people. People have been worried. They've been isolated. Many people have lost their jobs. Many people's income has gone down. And there's absolutely no shame in that affecting you. It just kind of makes you human. And the best thing you can do is try to take your mental health into your own hands and improve your life. Once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you'll be able to communicate with in under 48 hours. This is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. This is professional counseling done securely online, and BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So it's easy and free to switch counselors if needed. You can send a message to your counselor at any time, and you'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so it's the perfect way to do therapy during the pandemic, and you won't have to go back to sitting in an uncomfortable waiting room in the future. Go to betterhelp.com/problem. Join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. New testimonials from users are posted daily. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. One more time, it's BetterHelp.com/problem. BetterHelp.com/problem. That'll get you 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com/problem for 10% off your first month. All right, let's get back into the show.
There are a few other things that I wanted to mention. Let's see. What order do I want to do this in here? All right, you know what? How about next? Let's go to this was one that really was making the rounds, went super viral. This woman, Mara Gay, Ms. Gay, who is an opinion writer for the New York Times, was on MSNBC. It's wonderful when lefties go on MSNBC and really just start ranting. This one, by the way, I don't know if you remember this, Rob, but she was the woman who was made famous or infamous when she went on Brian Williams' show and said that Michael Bloomberg, so he said something about how Michael Bloomberg was worth $300 million and there's 300 million Americans, and that he could, if he just gave his money away, give everyone $1 million. And Brian Williams was
brilliant lady.
You go, it's amazing when you think about it that way. I think the actual words Brian Williams said was, it's incredible when you think about it that way. And it was like, yes, it literally is incredible.
Isn't Bloomberg? I thought Bloomberg was worth a couple billion dollars.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was that. I don't remember. I might be getting the numbers exactly wrong, but not
remembering. I do remember that clip.
It was a couple years ago, but she was way, way off. No, I think it wasn't his net worth. It was how much he had spent on the campaign.
Right. And it was enough money to give everyone a dollar, but
yes,
not capable of doing any simple arithmetic.
I mean, it was like outrageous. It was something like he spent $300 million on the campaign. He could give everyone $1 million. And you're not just like, if he spent $300 million, then he could give 300 people $1 million. This right. is well, very straightforward. Like, how could you possibly mess this up? But not only did she mess it up, she tweeted about it, then brought it up on the show, then they pulled up her tweet, then they discussed it for like a minute, and like no one, not the guy in Brian Williams' earpiece, not her, not Brian Williams, not the person who put the graphic up, like nobody in this setup caught this, like, obvious. And
well, there's two takeaways from that. First is Brian Williams survived a helicopter attack, so you can't fault him. It's not his fault.
Brain trauma, probably.
Right. But the network itself, you really can't hold them accountable or look down on them for getting every other news story wrong, because they're clearly just retarded.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, there is that. That's a clear takeaway from there. They could really use Mr. Science Truth Doctor on the network more often. And they have him on a decent amount, to be fair. But you know what actually bothered me more? It's like a math error. First off, I'm shitty at math and I always have been. So I'm not judging anyone for making a math mistake. And hey, even like a situation where like 10 people had their eyes on it and it's a really easy one, it's embarrassing, it's unprofessional, but you know it happens, you know? What actually drives me crazy more is the unbelievable economic ignorance you would have to have. Like, if you just have any basic understanding of economics, of the U.S. economy, the idea that someone would go, hey, you know, there's one person out there who could give their money away and make everyone a millionaire, would right away have to like ring a bell and go, no, that doesn't add up. That's just not, it's not possible. There's nobody who has that much money. Like, that's, no, you know what I mean? Like, it just couldn't possibly be right. But they just all took that like it's just like, yeah, pff, this one rich guy would just give up his money. Every single person is rich. Huh? How does that make sense to you? Anyway, so there. So this is that same woman. But she was back on MSNBC, and she was opening up about her experience in Long Island. And here's what she had to say.
I think as long as they see Americanness as the same as one with whiteness, this is going to continue. We have to figure out how to get every American a place at the table in this democracy, but how to separate Americanness, America, from whiteness. Until we can confront that and talk about that, this is really going to continue. I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this. And so until we're ready to have that conversation, this is going to continue.
All right. So there you have it pretty clearly. Now, the New York Times doubled down and defended her. And they said that her words were taken out of context when people were saying that she was saying that the American flag is somehow a symbol of hate. But you hear it right there out of her mouth that she very clearly said, and in some cases, just American flags, which is also troubling because it's a sign that this is our country and not your country. This, to me, I thought was a fascinating little revealing moment about a lot of different things that we talk about on this show. The culture war, the liberal plot against the left that is wokeism, or the corporate plot against the left that is wokeism. Just all of it wrapped into one. So here she starts with this premise, which is to the woke crowd, just an a priori given that is not, never needs to be proved or justified. It's just the starting point, which is what, Rob? America's racist. We're a racist country. The problem is that we have to separate the idea of whiteness from the idea of Americanness. Now, at no point do you ever have to argue this, establish this, make it clear what exactly you're talking about. You know what I mean? It's just this kind of like, this is the starting point. We know that the country is racist. And if you really press, you know, them to like actually prove this, it'll be like, well, there was slavery. So there you go. I mean, it's certainly true that for all of its history, America has been a majority white country, but the idea that like that is what's in people's minds, that they associate America with whiteness, it's a very vague and unproven assertion, you know? And then we start with that. And then, go ahead.
No, if you're looking for something, you're going to find it. If you want to find a correlation between checking your doorknob when you leave your house and whether or not you have financial success that day, you'll convince yourself of that correlation. So if you spend your whole life just convinced that anybody who likes this country is really just advocating for a white America that's exclusive of other people, you're inventing something. And you'll, yes, if you look for it, great, you'll find some evidence for it, but it's not true.
But what's interesting is that you're 100% right about that, right? Like if you start from a place, and here's the thing, right? It's not even as if she's trying to find evidence to back up her initial claim. She's taking her initial claim as a given truth and then just being like, and look how obvious it is, right? Like
she's being dismissive of other people. Their assumption is that anyone who could have liked Trump or disliked Biden, it's just a outpouring of their racist attitudes. And
but this is what goes on all the time, right? So this happens in conspiracy, like in the unfounded conspiracy world, right? This is what people do. They start with the answer, and then they go around finding everything that proves that their starting point was correct. And this is a very flawed way to figure anything out. So it'll be like, you know, okay, we're starting with 9/11 was an inside job, right? Like, if that's your starting point. And then they'll be like, well, look how much money this one guy made off of the towers are going down. Or look at how they wanted to go to war in Iraq before 9/11 or blah, 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 this. And if you're just, if you take it as a given, then you start feeling like, I just made a really strong case. I mean, look at all these pieces of evidence. But if you just start with questioning that starting point, you start to realize that none of this is really a strong case. So like, if you say, hey, you know, the neocons wanted to go to war in, you know, in the 90s, they wanted to go to war in Iraq. And then right after 9/11, they go to war in Iraq for, you know, they go to war with 9/11 as the justification. Therefore, 9/11, okay, so you see where it's like, okay, yeah, that lines up. They did 9/11 just to get into the war in Iraq. But if you just question the starting premise, you go, well, maybe they just, since they already wanted to go to war in Iraq, they just took that opportunity after it happened and then used it. Right, so you're back to zero. Like, you have it is absolutely no evidence that your starting claim was correct. Right, so when she's not looking at it this way, she's not like in her mind. And this is the religiosity of wokeism. Right, there cannot be a debate about whether America is racist. That can't be questioned. That is an a priori truth. So you can't, like, because as soon as you start doing that, a whole lot of their shit starts falling apart. Now, right away, you go like, okay, well, America is racist. All right, well, let's think about whether that's true or not. How would we figure that out? Let's start with comparing it. Compare it to what? Compare it to previous generations in America? Compare it to other countries around the world where there's massive tribal conflicts, right? Like, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, you're on. So it just has to be asserted as truth. And then, because she's not questioning this, look how weak her final piece of evidence is. I saw American flags. That's what she's down to. People had the flag of the country that they're in. What, like, in a sane person's mind, what could you possibly deduce from that? So, you know, Rob, I went to Italy the other day on vacation, and I saw people with Italian flags. What does that say about Italy? I mean, you've got like nothing. You've got nothing. That people like the flag of their country. I mean, I don't know that they have pride in their country. The idea that you can then deduce from that this is saying some message about this is my country, not your country, and this is proof that America needs to be associated with whiteness and all of this. I mean, this is just like such an incredibly, astoundingly weak argument, such a thin stretch, you know? And so, but if you start from the starting point that it's a given, right? Like, if I start from the fact that it's a given that 9/11 was an inside job, then it's like, okay, yeah, then the Iraq thing seems to be evidence, because we know our only job here is to support the given, not even prove it, because we're not even questioning it, but just to demonstrate it. So everything now becomes something that demonstrates this a priori truth. But if you question it, it all falls apart. So in the same way with her, it's a given that America is racist, that the idea of America is associated with whiteness and keeping, you know, people of color out. So then here, people with the flag, obviously, what does that mean? It means this. But actually, it just kind of means, like, I don't know. I don't even know if it means that much more than going to New York and seeing a lot of Yankees hats. It's kind of people like my team. That's really what it is. My team. I'm proud of my team. We kick ass. We win. We're the best. You know, that's really essentially what the flag is. All right, guys, let's take a quick moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is One Farm. One Farm produces plant-based products with organic ingredients sourced directly from the farmers that grew them, including CBD product. They make a bunch of those. All their CBD products are made with organic hemp grown in Boulder, Colorado. Their CBD is full spectrum, so it contains THC as well as other cannabinoids. All products are third-party tested. They combine high-quality CBD with other powerful botanicals like turmeric, chaga, and matcha to make some of the most effective products on the market. Turmeric relief creams with 425 milligrams of CBD work great for joint pains and sore muscles. I'm a big believer in that. I've personally used CBD creams for muscle problems and joint problems. I've gotten a lot more help than other traditional things like Advil and Tylenol and stuff like that. So definitely check that out. They also have daily 8 mushroom immunity boost. It gives any coffee a nice mocha flavor while supporting your immune system. The CBD also helps smooth out the caffeine jitters. CBD oils come in cinnamon, peppermint, natural, and lemon. They make the flavoring in-house and have some of the best tasting CBD on the market. The CBD also comes in soft gels. So go to onefarm.com and use the promo code POTP. That'll get you 30% off all of your orders. That's onefarm.com, and the promo code is POTP for 30% off. Now, keep in mind, that is this month only. So this month only, 30% off anything you order at onefarm.com when you use the promo code POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. The other thing that she said was that she saw derogatory comments toward Joe Biden and stuff like that. Again...
Well, Joe Biden just ruined our currency, so let's not pretend like
it's Well, listen, Trump has some blame on that one as well. But look, I did grow up in New York City, but I've been living in New York City. I lived in New York City through almost all of the Trump years, and saw some nasty things said about Donald Trump too. I don't know what type of grand conclusions you can reach. If I were to try to reach a conclusion that, you know, those people who were saying fuck Trump, worst president ever, all of that stuff. If I concluded because of that they hate white people, I think that'd be a little bit of a stretch. You know what I mean? That just seems like probably what it's really, the only thing I can really conclude from that is that they really hate Trump. And so those people who you saw the signs trashing Biden, my guess would be they don't like him as a president. They didn't vote for him. They don't like that he won. Like that would be that if we're being reasonable here, I think that's pretty much all it's evidence of. But there's something that deeper than all of that that I wanted to touch on, which is the theme that I really like introducing that I think is really important to understand, which is that all of this woke shit, all of this, like America is the, our goal here is to remove the idea of whiteness from the idea of America and like all this stuff. When this becomes your focus, look how much it perverts the leftist impulse to care about power disparities, because you immediately, it's like they play on it where it's like, so the powerful now are white people who support whiteness as being part of Americanness, and the powerless are the people who fight against that, right? So that's like kind of the perversion here. But what's actually going on here? I mean, if you actually care, like when I say this, I mean like true, pure leftism, right? Like if you actually cared, which I am not, certainly not a leftist, but if you actually cared about like income inequality, the working class, egalitarianism, all of the things that the left, you know, historically has cared about or said they care about. What do you have here? I mean, how did this woman, this professional woman who, you know, probably makes, excuse me, I don't know, high six, low seven figures a year, has a fancy job for the New York Times, is sitting in an air conditioned studio spouting off her, you know, critical race theory nonsense to the world. How does she become the powerless? And yet these guys, as she described them, driving, what were they driving, Rob? Pickup trucks in Long Island are the powerful because they slapped a flag on their pickup truck. Like, I'm just saying, like, what job do you think they were going to with that pickup truck? Again, I'm not saying there aren't some millionaires out there who like to drive a pickup truck, but my guess is, you know, if you found like 100 pickup trucks, you'd be lucky if one of them driving him was going to a white collar, high six figure a year job. Most of them are probably working class folks. Okay. And that is who this elitist woman is looking down her nose at. So you can just see how, like, how upside down this whole thing is, that this woman now gets to sit there and all you are is a snob. That's all you are. You're like the opposite of what the left was supposed to be about. All you are is a you are an elitist who's looking down at working people for their preferences. And this is what ends up happening with so much of the woke shit. It gets turned into this very these very like upper class values being imposed on the working class. Like, oh my God, can you believe he had curses on his truck and then an American flag? Like, ugh, isn't that just beneath us? We don't care if it's like, yeah, well, you know what? A lot of the working class people really like the American flag. They also like Miller Lite and Hooters and the NFL and like all this other shit. Like, okay, if you want to judge them and just think you're better than them, fine. Don't wrap it in this bullshit about how you're like ending racism or something like that. You went out to visit your friend in Long Island and were triggered by what some guys driving pickup trucks had stapled to the back of their car. Right, stapled probably wouldn't work on a car, but you get my point.
Isn't it also interesting how they have it's also just different economic interests? Like the white working class person might feel that, even though I don't think Trump did anything for anybody, they might at least think, hey, this guy speaks for me. And mm-hmm. so that's why I like him, because he might create opportunities for me. Versus if you're this left person, well, you don't want anyone who even has that point of view that government, you know, should be doing anything for working class individuals. But you definitely do want to protect all the government resources that go into left ideology, that goes into investments such as green energy or into investments of critical race theory. So in some ways, this lady's just protecting her own, you know, economic interests against this other group of saying, right, how dare they want a president that might or at least claim to do something for them. They're clearly racist. It's just her way of protecting her own economic interests, which is an audience of people that feel shamed into feeling that socialism is important or whatever her values are, and so that there's more money that flows towards her. You know what I mean? It's not,
yeah,
she's not really any better or any different. It's just two different groups of people. And if anything, I would say the construction workers are probably closer to what we would be looking for a free market that let them just hire people, not have permits, and be able to just work and do jobs.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, so much of this, and I said this all throughout the Trump years, right? But it's like so much of, because I agree with you, right? Like, I completely agree with you when you said Donald Trump didn't really do much for these people. You know, he didn't. And so a lot of these types in the corporate press will be like, yeah, why do these people even love Donald Trump so much? But then this woman here, she proves it to you. This is why they love Donald Trump so much. Because Donald Trump didn't hate their guts. And if he did, he didn't make that clear. He told them he didn't hate them. He told them he loved them. I remember, you know, I was talking about this on when I was on Rogan's podcast, that time before last. But I was like, dude, like, people, and this is what, you know, and I was conscious of saying this on like such a big platform, because I really think this is like what people got to think about if they want to, you know, if they want this country to end up in a not disastrous place, no matter how you feel about Donald Trump. It was like a couple days before I was on the show with Rogan, maybe a couple weeks before, you know, Donald Trump went to Central Pennsylvania, okay, and drew 54,000 people to come hear the man speak. And when he got up on stage, there was like a nearly 5 minute long uninterrupted chant of "We love you. We love you." Now, if you just want to dismiss all of this and say, oh, it's racism or it's Russia or whatever the hell you want to do, it's like, okay. But do you maybe want to pay attention to like what exactly is going on here? And I don't claim to know exactly what's going on here, but I damn sure claim to think it's worth knowing what is going on here. And I could think about it a little bit. And you're like, yeah, okay, Central Pennsylvania has been decimated for decades. This is like, they're really not doing well, okay? And You've got lower class, working class people there who are coming out. Now, why do they love him? He's done nothing for them. Things haven't gotten better. I mean, maybe they got a little bit better in 2018, 2019, then much worse in 2020. But really nothing. Like, the problems didn't go away. The OD crisis didn't go away. You know what I mean? Like, none of this shit is better. But he said he wants to help them. That's what he told them. He said, I care about you. I want to bring your jobs back. I want to make things better for you. And what does this lady say? I mean, okay, maybe she doesn't say it word for word, but what is the obvious message of this woman? She hates you. She hates you. Oh, you have an American flag on your pickup truck? That means you're bad guy. You're the bad. They hear this all the time. And you know this, the thing about conservatives, which is like why they're such suckers in a way, is that the entire dominant culture in the, you know, this country is this woman, right? Like, just for example, right? She is out there saying, hey, I think we need to separate America from the idea of whiteness, and saying that the American flag is hateful. Now, what happened when she came under pressure? The New York Times caught her back. The biggest, most powerful newspaper in the world caught her back. They were like, no, that's our person. We're not firing her. People get up there and say all this shit all day long. It's not a problem. Just imagine if anybody got up and said, we took the opposite opinion. We think the idea of America is attached to whiteness. And that's what it should be. America should be synonymous with white. You know, would the New York Times catch her back? Would that person would be gone in a second, fired from whatever job they held. Okay. So it's not as if now the institutions, the corporate press, Hollywood, the government, this is, by the way, right now, Joe Biden's government, Joe Biden's the president, Democrats in control of the House and the Congress, the entire culture is telling these people that they hate them. And you know what these conservatives do? They still wave the American flag. Like, it's unbelievable that they still have this level of patriotism for a country that all of the, you know, established, like, power hates. And they still want to wave their flag. They still want to be like, this is such a great country. It's really unbelievable. But that's it. That's the whole game right there. So why is it, you know, and then Brian Stelter and all these guys always, oh, so what is all of this like hostility toward the media? It's because this type of idea can be floated out there. And what does everybody around the table do when that woman says this stuff in the corporate press? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah, these people are really hateful. That guy in his pickup truck really is just, oof, what a terrible person for putting an American flag, the crime of putting an American flag on his pickup truck. You look down on these people. And that's why they want anyone who will give you the middle finger. I think that's a starting point. That's a pretty important starting point for why they're chanting, we love you, to Donald Trump. Not saying it's the whole answer, but it's part of it. All right. What else did you want to talk about, Robbie the Fire?
Yeah, two other videos, and I think we might be tight on time, so the better of the two is definitely Kamala explaining, you know, all of her thoughts about what's going on at the border and why it's going to be her next vacation.
Yes, yeah, so Kamala Harris was being interviewed by Lester Holt, and now Lester Holt, far from going to be a really tough interview,
but he made a mistake here. He asked a follow up question, and you're not supposed to do that to liberals.
Well, every now and then a guy like Lester Holt or one of these, you know, one of the really big, you know, so called journalists, they're like, look, I have to at least pretend. Well, I have to at least pretend that I'm a journalist here, so they can't just. You know, like what we played Brian Stelter doing the other day. They go, we can't all just do this or it's going to be pretty damn obvious. So I got to at least pretend to ask you a tough question. So here he was interviewing Kamala Harris.
And so the question has come up, and you heard it here, and you'll hear it again, I'm sure. It's why not visit the border? Why not see what Americans are seeing in this crisis?
Well, we are going to the border. We have to deal with what's happening at the border. There's no question about that. That's not a debatable point. But we have to understand that there's a reason people are arriving at our border and ask, what is that reason? And then identify the problem so we can fix it.
What do you tell a Guatemalan family who heard you say don't come, but you know they're facing the end? There's poverty, there's disease, all these things happening at once. You tell them don't come?
We don't want, I don't think that Americans want people to be exposed to harm if they can avoid it. They're taking the trek from the place that they know that they want to stay. So I'm here in Guatemala to say, what can we do to support people and to give them a sense of hope that help is on the way?
The administration looking to inject billions of dollars.
I think we missed the moment there.
Did we? I think it's coming up.
Oh, okay.
It's why not visit the border? Why not see what Americans are seeing in this crisis?
Well, we are going to the border. We have to deal with what's happening at the border. There's no question about that. That's not a debatable point. But we have to understand that there's a reason people are arriving at our border and ask, what is that reason? And then identify the problem so we can fix it.
What do you tell a
they edited it. We're
they
watching
edited it out.
Version.
Is this wow. The official NBC version? Yep, it's put up by NBC News. They edited it out.
Right there. I think I'm pretty sure.
No, they did. What she said was I haven't gone to Europe either.
No. First she said we have been to the border, and she goes, well, no, you haven't been. And then she goes, well, I haven't been to Europe either. What's your point? And he goes, well, I think it would be important for you to see it.
Wow,
that's crazy.
So they edited out the part. Wow, there you go. NBC News. I mean, I'm sure. Oh, it's just convenient for time's sake. They edited out the part that was Kamala Harris saying. Yeah, she goes, she's like, yeah, well, we've been to the border. And they're like, no, you haven't been to the border. And she goes, well, I haven't been to Europe either. And she's like, well, you're not the vice president of Europe, you psychopath. Like, you're this. So, of course, you know, like, what's really going on here? Why does Kamala Harris not want to go to the border? It's like, well, because she doesn't want there to be pictures of her down at the border and be linked to the crisis. That's what's going on here. But it's unbelievable how much they demagogued this issue for 4 years with Donald Trump. They have no answers for it. You know, it really reminds me of Obamacare. When the Republicans pulled the same shit under Obama, they demagogued the shit out of Obamacare. This is a nightmare. We're going to repeal it. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. And then they got in there and they were like, we got nothing. We're just going to keep it going. And it's the same thing with this border stuff. They get in there. Oh my God, Donald Trump is literally Hitler. Look what he's doing. Separating children from their families. The entire Democratic apparatus, and in that I include most of the corporate press, was unbelievable with that. Just all the time, the images of children at the border and AOCs going down there and crying and all of this stuff. Now they're in there now. It's even worse than it was under Trump. We got nothing.
Well, first, it's funny, you know, you run to be president and then there's this one thing that you don't want to look bad over and you don't want to make a decision. So you pawn it off to Kamala. And now she also doesn't want to look bad over it. So she's not going to do anything. But from what I understand, or the numbers at least I've seen being reported, the numbers actually are worse at the border because people in these other countries got the idea that now that Biden's in, if they showed up here, they would be able to stay here or other arrangements would be made. And so they created a bad incentive for people to take dangerous journeys. And there's a lot of harm that's coming from people feeling like, hey, if I can just make it over that border, I'm going to live a better life. So I do believe that the situation is slightly worse and it is a result of their policies, or at least from what I've seen and read. And then also there's humor in saying, hey, I want this job and I can fix things. And then once you're given the job, trying to just pass it off to the other person who then is trying to just pass it off to whoever
will take it
just because no one wants the bad optics of the fact that you'd have to actually do your job. You have to actually make some tough decisions and actually confront some U.S. policy that's creating the situations down there. And you can't just pretend. I mean, she actually said they would like to stay there. Well, clearly not. They're making the journey. And yes, I guess if you go down there and you lie to them, which is what you mean when bring hope. And when you say things like, yes, you like there's legal immigration and you'll get it if you stay here, you're lying to people. You're essentially saying, I'd like to go down there and maybe lie to these people so that they think that they're better off staying here. But when like you want to know the extent by which she's willing to lie, it's that these people that are making the journey would rather know. That is the very proof of the fact that they are going would suggest that they would rather go than stay.
That is a very sound Misesian argument that you just made, that the fact that they're doing it, we can deduce from that that they wanted to do that. These are conscious, you know, human beings who have agency, who are choosing to take an incredibly brutal journey to get somewhere. Odds are they'd rather be there than where they started, I think we can safely say. And yeah, I mean, look, as I've always said with these immigration issues, that the cleanest thing that we could do, I mean, aside from just having a private property based society, which would solve the entire mess, the only realistic solutions that we could have right now would be to say, look, we are going to abolish the war on drugs, stop interfering in the internal affairs of these countries down there. And we're going to abolish the welfare state. And that would clean up a whole lot of the problem. And clean up the vast majority of it, I believe, but certainly would drastically improve the situation. But when Kamala Harris says, we have to take on the reasons why they're coming. Well, the reason why people are coming is because life is much better here than it is there. How are you going to go about changing that? I mean, okay, we can stop doing, you know, we can stop subsidizing immigration. You know, that's a fair starting point, I think. We can stop destroying countries down there. That's a way to do it.
But building a wall, that's also, that's, you know, let's not take that off the table.
That was the Trumpian approach. But anyway, just to talk about how much the media demagogues this. So Spike Cohen posted this. It caught my eye. I thought it was hilarious. But here's two different article titles from the Washington Post. This is from, one is from April 8th, 2019. One is from June 8th, 2021. One of them is about Donald Trump telling people not to come to America. And one of them is about Kamala Harris telling people not to come to America. Okay? Two different articles. Here are the titles. You tell me if you notice a difference in tone. Okay, Rob? And I want you to really pay attention because it's very subtle. Okay, so really hear me when I read these two article headlines, and you, very subtle, but there is a difference in the way they put this out there. Okay, I'll give you the Kamala Harris one first. Okay, here's the title of the article. Harris warns Guatemalans they will be turned back if they come to the U.S. border illegally. Okay, you got it? That's mm-hmm. the first one. One more time. Harris warns Guatemalans they will be turned back if they come to the border illegally. Okay. Here's the one from Trump in April of 2019. Okay. Quote, our country is full. Trump's declaration carries far right echoes that go back to the Nazi era. Like, you can't make this shit up. And so again, like, you know, they wonder, like, why do these people hate the corporate press? Why do they hate them so much? You might want to look at that. Now, you can feel however you want to about the immigration issue. Spike Cohen posted this. I think me and him might have some difference of opinions on immigration. You know, you could be a complete open borders, a complete closed borders, or like most people, somewhere in between that. But to not see that and just go, okay, if you can't acknowledge that, that's just completely unfair. That literally the same basic message. I mean, okay, Trump said our country is full, and Kamala Harris said don't come because you'll be turned away. But that, I mean, it's basically the same thing. That makes one of you a Nazi, and one, it's just, let me tell you what happened This is what happened here. It's pretty goddamn funny. Now, okay, I understand I'm cherry picking and all that, but I do think it paints a picture that is more accurate, broadly speaking. So anyway, that's there it goes. So either Trump's not a Nazi or Kamala Harris is a Nazi now too. I'm fine either way, to be honest. No matter how you want to look at it, I'm okay. I'm okay with either of those. All right, we're going to wrap up there. Come see me and Robbie the Fire in Brooklyn Sunday night. Come see us in Connecticut in a little over a week on June 19th. And then, we'll be in Rochester, New York in August. Let's go. Let's do this, baby.
Summer Porch Tour, RobbieTheFire.com. Nashville Day coming soon. We got Boston. We've got, you can follow the tour, 3rd and 4th, 3rd in Philadelphia, 4th in Maryland. And then go to theblackcaptain.com and support that project.
Hell yeah. Oh, and don't forget Freedom Fest. I'm hosting the entire festival. Come out to Freedom Fest in South Dakota. My first time in South Dakota. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Thanks for listening. Peace.